translator for some of our guy when I was in Ukraine. And the one phrase I think of every time I see it in this phrase, but what's that all along? You know, he's the guy who speaks the language. We're going from Kiev up to Chernobyl and Princeton. We're coming back and it's kind of really late. We come to this intersection, formal intersection out in the middle, absolutely nowhere, and probably driving kind of sitting at this box on it, and we say, what do you know? What do you know? That wasn't the comfort. Genesis chapter 41.
Personally, I will interpret the dreams of the
Joseph then, making his interpretation and his recommendation. saying, I see God. But actually, you're just to literally interpret that. It is an image, and we find such a one as this in whom there is divinity. It's the idea of divinity. I think at the end of the line is a divine spirit. And so Pharaoh is not looking at it from the Old Testament God. Elohim saying, I see the metaphor in this man. He is rather saying, look, I see a divine spirit in this man. He is as a God. He is speaking as a God. The gods are working in him. Pharaoh considered himself a God, and so it was not really a statement of belief in the God of the Bible. It was just he's saying, I see there's something going on in this guy. Verse 39. So Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, according to my words, are all my people to rule. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have sent thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. And arrayed him in vestures of fine garments and put a gold chain upon his neck. And made him climb in the second chariot which he had, and they climbed before him, on the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zeke, and gave him a wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of Ammon. And Joseph went out over in all the land of Egypt. Actually, I don't know what that name. Jephthah, alright, now, here is God's objective realized. I told you I love this story, and I love this place in the story, because the guy basically goes from being a head of prisoner to the prime minister or the secretary of state. And it's within probably hours. Now, I am assuming that probably within those hours, the Pharaoh had gotten a little information, perhaps asked for a little background on Joseph, and learned that he had run Potiphar's house, and learned that he had run the prison, and when this guy comes, he just has such an aura about him that he is comfortable making this decision on Joseph. It is not completely on him. I think he's had some time during the preparation of Joseph to find out who this guy is a little bit. Now, when he meets him, he's just thoroughly impressed by what he sees. And you have a series of tutors that take place, and there are two dreams, two imprisonments, two dreamers in prison, and the Pharaoh's two dreams. And all these things are kind of symbolic. I don't want to get caught up in numbers, but they're in parallel to the things that are taking place. So let's make a couple of observations from this chapter, up through verse 45. Number one, after 13 years of injustice, remember, Joseph was a prisoner, he was sold when he was 17 years old, and now he is 30, we're going to have that in just a minute. So he's been in prison but he's been suffering under persecution, basically, for 13 years. But during those 13 years of injustice, notice that Joseph's first consideration was not his deliverance. That isn't the first thing that's crossing his mind. But his relationship with God is the thing that he is still very concerned about. His integrity. When he got out of prison finally, he's standing before Pharaoh. If it were you, what would have been the first thing on your mind? What would you have wanted to tell Pharaoh? What happened to you? Maybe I'll interpret your dream, but here's really the subject that I want to get to. I want to tell you what happened to me, what my brothers did, what Billy Price did, what your cupbearer and baker did. That doesn't seem to be a subject. He still has, this is what's so admirable about Joseph, he still has his relationship with God. And we have to ask, in our own lives, how long or what situations would cause us to abandon our integrity or sacrifice our relationship with God? How long would it take of himself. He is a 17-year-old who's been empowered by a father who fawns on him. He's enjoying this a little too much, saying, they're not going to empower me on these days. And you have to look at him and say, here is a guy who just needs to grow into what God is going to put him in. What if that 17-year-old had been given the position of prime minister that he is now? How would it have gone? What about his head? You have, in 13 years, God taking Joseph through a crash course to prepare him for the great ministry of man. I almost hate to preach that because there are times God's going to take us through a crash course to prepare us for what he has ahead. I have John Vaughn has the book More Precious Than Gold. Some of you read that with us a couple of years ago. And it's about his wife and his daughter. They were both burned extremely, almost killed, both of them in that fire in the home. And it's he wasn't there, but it's the camp canceling the field left on a porch, and the daughter should never be able to get pushed back on the kitchen door, and it exploded, and they both were nearly killed. And I know that as well. And you know what he preached on the Sunday night before that? Anybody remember what he says in the book? He preached on how to endure suffering. Yeah. And here is God teaching him, preparing him for a message he preaches. And he said, I never expected to have to take that and live it for the next 20 years. What I preached that night. He's never going to forget what he preached. And God sometimes has to take us through things to shape us for what he's going to do. That 17-year-old could not have been able to position the prime minister. Joseph probably would never have been prepared to handle the position of the prime minister of Egypt if he had stayed with his father and his brothers. Because there were attitudes that God needed to lean out of him. He's learned how to be a leader in the most awful circumstances. He's the leader in Pharaoh's house where he's got a boss that is still in the market. He's been a leader of prisoners. Those are not the cream of the crop. And so he has been molded to what God wanted him to be in the awfulest of circumstances that God had to project him in mind. And we don't know what God was going to do. But this is what we can see in looking back. Now, one of the notes that we have from chapter 41 is Pharaoh's figure, he needed the social standing. Here's a Hebrew. He's been a slave, he's been in prison, and now he's making him a prime minister. And so he needs to give him some social standing. And so he is Egyptized. He gives him an Egyptian knight, gives him an Egyptian name, and then he takes him around and introduces him as part of his entourage and gives him the standing that he needs to do the job that he's given him to do. So now we move into the next section of this book. And this is what I've entitled Joseph, A Chance for Revenge. From verse 46 on, he begins to tell us the story of Joseph now in the position of one who can do whatever he wants to do. But something has to happen first. Remember, I told you to remember as we went through the slides from last week, the letter word confirmation in there. It's not confirmation like a Catholic confirmation, that is confirmation like he has to confirm that his interpretation is real. For the next 7 years, Joseph is going to put grain, corn, wheat, all kinds of food in storage, and we're going to want that he puts it in to the point where even if they just couldn't years. And here we come to spring, and your stocks are going well, and it's going great, and you're building, and you're taking out big mortgages, and somebody says, it's going to crash. You know, do you believe them? And this guy says, God said this is what's going to happen, but you're in a society, a world of gods. This is going to be a battle between gods. And so he has to have the confirmation of what he has said. He has the authority of the Pharaoh alive, and the Pharaoh sits with him. And we don't know anywhere near the time of the additional confirmation of the Pharaoh that he's doing the right thing. But for 7 years, that's a long time. He was spooned away, he built bigger lines and storage facilities, and he was going to have to be confirmed in his words in order to have credibility. And so that's the next thing that we go into in this passage. He spends the 13 years in prison, and then drastically his life changes. He should have been in charge. This is not a problem. A little bit bigger than he can in charge of the whole country. He comes to the place where this is all the test of Joseph's God. He's going to live for 7 years under this cloud of, is your God real? Can you do it? Can you be faithful? Can you stick with what God has said? And perhaps without the additional confirmation, can you stick with what God has said to you? Can you do it? Are we able to do that for 7 years? Probably the only thing that sometimes is a little discouraging as a pastor is I try to look at people who have come God saved and have grown 3 or 4 years and then it was 2 times. How many are actually willing and able to make the commitment to live under God's instructions for life? And here's Joseph now for 7 years in a pagan society having to say, I'm sticking with what I've said. I'm sticking with the interpretation. I'm going to see. But I've got to stick with it through thick and thin. I'm sure there was some opposition along the way. And so, if you come then to verses 46 through 49, it simply tells us about the gathering of the years of abundance. And he puts things away that it must have seemed excessive to the people. One of the things it says, I want you to look at this verse 47. In the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. Now, if you have another translation, it will probably say, the earth brought forth abundantly. So this, by handfuls is actually the literal translation, the full hands. The earth opened its hands up and gave them abundantly everything they needed. Year to year of prosperity. And people came back to the scene during those years of prosperity. In verses 50 through 52, it tells us that Joseph, at the end of those 7 years, has 2 sons. And the names of his sons reveal a little more about his spiritual condition. Down verse 51, it says, and Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. For God said, he had made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. So you don't have a notion of my own is the name Manasseh meaning. What is it? Right? Forgetting? One causes to forget. Here Joseph, naming his first son, one causes to forget. What was he forgetting? Well, the past, the misery, he's letting that go. And we can't read a whole lot about that and that. Let me tell you a little bit of racism here. If he hung on to the bitterness of anger against his brothers, against Potiphar's wife, against the baker and the butler, the cupbearer, especially, and the guy. What kind of man does he become? He becomes bitter. And I think that this is a real revelation and turning point, not necessarily turning point, but a revelation of what's going on in Joseph's mind. He names his son one who causes to prevent. Joseph is in a friendly land, great position, but he's still in sore and